Welcome to the Connected Members bonus episode. Thank you so much for being a Relay FM member. We have decided that we will revive a yearly tradition now where I think the best way to put it is we will berate each other for our home screen choices for our iPhones. We did this last year to varying levels of crying, I think, was the way we all left the episode. So we're going to do it again, and we're going to employ our favorite system of round robin. And we're going to go round robin by row. So in the show notes, if you want to play along, there will be a lovely picture that Stephen has put together of all of our iPhones in the accurate color options, which is fantastic. And we're going to go row by row, and we're going to talk about the apps that we choose and inevitably argue over them. So should we start off with Federico? And
hold on. My only request is, can we call it a round robin?
Yes, done. We most definitely can.
So
that was not needed to be pitched to us. You could have just said it.
Okay.
Round
okay.
robin. Right. Oh, that's so good. That's so good. All right, Federico. Okay.
Quiz me. Ask me anything. Do whatever you want.
You got to go. Come on, tell us. Top left. You got to tell us your applications.
All right, top left. All right. As always, the first app in the top left position is the App Store. Especially now with iOS 11, we got a whole new App Store with even more reasons for me to go in there every single day because of the Today tab. It's the, you know, my entire business basically runs on the idea of discovering apps and finding new stuff. So with iOS 11, the Today tab is going to be useful. And also, especially for having apps and games separately, it's going to be even more convenient than before. Music next to it. I'm an Apple Music subscriber. I actually pay for a family plan because me and my girlfriend, we use Apple Music. I love it, honestly. I think Apple Music has gotten a lot better over the years with the personalized mixes. I'm still waiting on the My Chill Mix, which is the third type that Apple started rolling out early this year. I still don't have that one, but I'm a huge fan of the My Favorites Mix and the My New Music Mix, which are the, these days are the, especially now that I'm writing most of the time, they are the primary ways that I listen and discover new music. But I also enjoy the changes in iOS 11 with, you know, being able to see what my friends are listening to in the main tab of the app in the For You section. Now I can see what Jason and Mike, for example, are listening to. Steven, I cannot because Steven is still using, you know, he listens to music on tape. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't show up in Apple Music.
Yeah.
I like the design. I went back to Spotify back and forth for a few times over the past year. And Spotify is excellent also. You know, the Discover Weekly stuff is amazing. But the problem is, visually, Apple Music pulls me back in every single time because it just looks fun and it looks colorful and I just prefer the way that it looks, and it, the integration with the Apple Watch when I work out and when I do other stuff is also very nice. You might be surprised by the Apple Podcasts icon.
I am.
This is a major theme of whenever we do the home screen episode in the middle of the summer. My excuse, which is not a fake one, is actually a real productivity-related motivation, is I need to understand what changes are occurring in the Apple system apps because I'm writing about them in my iOS review. And the best way to understand the changes is to actually use the apps. And the best way to use the apps is to put them on the home screen and go all in. So for the past month, I would say, I've been switching over my subscriptions from Overcast to podcasts. And it's going well because podcasts is now using the same design of Apple Music, which I really like. And there's a new Listen Now section that it's a quick way to go into the app and see what's new and dismiss episode with a delete swipe or just start listening. And now you can also have, like, the now playing screen is the same of Apple Music, so you can swipe up and you see show notes. It does most of the stuff that I like, but it doesn't have smart speed like Overcast or Voice Boost. And I really miss those effects. And I'm probably going to go back to Overcast. I'm hoping that maybe Marco has some visual changes planned for iOS 11. I don't know. But I think this sort of temporary transition to the Apple app is going better than in previous years because the app is better. The structure is cleaner, it's more colorful, it's easier to use, and the Listen Now section is nicely done. So I think this shouldn't upset you guys much, right? Like, I'm not like a huge convert. I'm saying Apple Podcasts is the best app, you know. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I have to try it, and it's kind of decent. It doesn't have all the features I like, but you know, I've been catching up on Cortex using this, and
thank you.
Kind of works. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, I can't argue with that. Like, Apple Podcasts has continued to get better over time. I think that it is still lacking in a bunch of areas, but the areas that it lacks in are less important now than they used to be, you know? And so it is getting better. If you were to stick with it full time, I would be a bit, I would raise an eyebrow, just because, like, there are, like, I can think of three apps that I think are better, right? Like, just off the top of my head for listening to podcasts. And they're all excellent apps, right? And they have their own designs. And I think, for me personally, I prefer the designs of all three of those applications to Apple Podcasts. Whilst I do feel that Apple Podcasts is better looking, I think it's gotten weird in places. Like, at least on the iPad especially, like, it doesn't seem to have, like, banners or anything, which I think makes more sense. Like, it's taking from Apple Music in good ways and bad ways, and I think it should still be taking a little bit from the iTunes store, because there is a little bit more of that, I think, in there than there should. I think there should be a little bit more in there than there is, but yeah, it is better looking.
You could see a future where they bring the editorial voice in the app, the new App Store, to podcast, right? Big stories, lots of artwork. I would like to see that come to the directory at some point.
I doubt it. I wished, but
yeah,
I almost wish there was a way to have, like, a personal mix of podcasts, like in Apple Music, but I know that it's super
easy.
Tricky to
relay.fm/masterfeed. Mm-hmm. Done.
I know, but how would you do, like, if Apple were to have, like, let's say that Apple does a My Daily Commute mix, and it's like a bunch of news shows. Like, how would you apply intelligence to spoken audio?
Yeah, I don't think it works. Like, how could you have a mix, right? Like, let's say a show lasts 30 minutes. The most you're going to get is two shows out of the mix, right? There are, like, a bunch of apps that have tried to make this type of thing, but podcasts don't work. Like, ignore the fact that, you know, our shows run 90 minutes. Like, even a lot of, like, the highly produced stuff, it lasts for, like, between 15 and 30 minutes. You can't get that many of those in on a commute. Plus, I think podcasts are, they're a different type of thing, right? Like, music, you pick up new stuff more easily and whatever, but with podcasts, sometimes you need a lot more context to understand what's going on, which you don't need with a song. Like, I don't think that those two things match over. This is like a problem that a lot of people have with just the thinking, oh, it's audio, so we can treat it just like music.
What I could see now that they have analytics is, like, my weekly highlights. And
yeah,
it's
recommendations,
like,
they should give,
like,
you.
No, and it's like, I'm imagining, like, this audio file that you listen to, and it's like a bunch of highlights from episodes from the past week, and Apple looks at, like, popular sections of shows, like 30-second highlights, clips, audio clips from shows, and you can go check out an episode if the clip is sort of attracting, and it's like, hey, I want to check that out, or if it sounds funny, and it's like it pulls from the top podcasts or whatever of the iTunes store, and it's like a highlight reel of, you know, interesting episodes that you should check out. I could see something like that, but not the mix of episodes, because it just doesn't work. So if you cut it down to 30-second previews and you mix them up, that could be an idea.
Context is key. I really think that the way, like Spotify and Google Play have tried this sort of approach. I just don't think it works in podcasts, but I do think the new podcast app seems like they're on the right track. They're paying attention to it, and hopefully they do more with it. Yeah. But who knows? So you're using, and we should say, it's also weird we're doing this in the middle of the summer, because you are running iOS 11, and Mike and I, at least at the point of recording this, are running iOS 10 on our iPhone. So there's even some difference there, in your podcast app is drastically better than the one on our phones.
Yeah. And the fourth app in the first row is YouTube, because obvious reasons. The first row is the entertainment one, and YouTube wouldn't make sense anywhere else. I, you know, whether it's Mike or Casey or, you know, other folks on YouTube, I spend most of my traditional TV time in YouTube now. And so it makes sense to put it there.
You're watching a lot of that on your phone, though?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, man.
Okay.
Like, all the time, especially because sometimes I my iPad, for example, after a long day of writing, is charging, and I don't want to use my iPad in bed with the cable, you know, in the iPad. So I just like pick up my phone and watch YouTube.
It's funny,
on the phone.
Like the way you describe it makes it sound like the iPad is tired. You know, it's like after a long day in the mine.
Poor iPad. Why would you subject the iPad to YouTube in addition to?
Well, that means he doesn't get to have any fun. He just work all day, and then you put him to sleep.
Yes, poor guy. That's what it's supposed to do. That's why I spend money on the iPad.
Poor little guy.
iPads are like trucks. That's what Steve Jobs said.
It doesn't work that way. Let's go over some other row from your phones.
Okay, so I'm next in the round robin. I have the Relay FM app on my home screen. I have the Relay FM app on my home screen for one reason. It's because I like to have the logo of my company on my home screen. I don't listen live to Relay FM shows because I'm usually the one streaming it. I think that I do the vast majority of the live streaming. And so I just like to see it there. I think it's really nice to have Relay FM's logo right on my home screen. So there it is. Okay, here we go. Here's step one of me having to argue myself. Okay.
But step one is why do you keep the Relay icon if it blends it into the background?
Well, look, there's nothing I can do about that, right?
No, yes, you can. You can change the wallpaper.
No. I like my wallpaper.
No.
And let me say something. Let me just say something, right? When you've got like the... Oh, no, it does super blend in. But I don't care. I like it. Whatever. Leave me alone. Don't talk to me ever again. Bear. Okay. Bear. Right. I like Bear a lot. Bear is an application that I use. It's my Markdown editor. So long form things go in there. If I'm working on some sponsor copy, it goes in there. Bear is an application that I like a lot. It syncs well. I like that it has a lot of customization options. And I really like the Markdown formatting that it does. So I'm a big fan of that app. And I have it sitting next to Notes. Notes is for everything else. I thought about and tried for a little while to put everything into Bear. But honestly, for the things that I use Notes for, I just prefer Notes. Right, so like this is for if there's any links and stuff for any of my shows, they all go into Notes. So I just will just grab it and just throw the link in, and I have a note for every one of my shows, which is like connected follow-up, upgrade follow-up, and it all goes in there. If I have ideas for things, it goes in there. If I have travel documents and stuff, it all goes in there. And I just like it. I like to keep the two separate. Like Bear is for long stuff. Notes is for all of the snippets of text and links and stuff that I collect over a week. And then I have Dropbox, because Dropbox is my file system. Now, aside from the fact that the Relay FM icon blends into my background, do you have any questions or concerns about my top row?
I want to understand better the difference, like what kind of long form Markdown you keep in Bear.
Yeah, so
that cannot go in Notes.
Well, because I liked, say, like when I wrote that little article for your newsletter, I would write that in Bear, and I want it to be formatting the Markdown cleanly,
as it should be,
right?
Okay.
And Notes doesn't do that, right? Like Notes doesn't do clean Markdown formatting. Or when I, when I ever write sponsorship copy, that's all written in Markdown, and I like all of that to be formatted properly. The show notes for this very episode, I wrote in there, and I wrote in Markdown. And also because, you know, I was doing some of it on my iPhone, so it was just way easier for me to just highlight a word and then tap the little link button, and it grabs the link from the clipboard and just puts it straight into the note, right? Like Bear is made for stuff like that, and it's for dealing with Markdown and stuff like that, where Notes isn't. Like, and if Notes added like really good Markdown support, then I would never use Bear again, right? But I prefer Notes over Bear for my everyday stuff, because I find it to be more reliable and the sync to be better and stuff like that. It's faster and it deals with conflicts in a really nice way, because that was a problem that I had, was the conflict resolution, because yeah. I'm adding stuff to notes from all of my devices at random times during the day, and notes handles the conflict resolution really easily. And this is just like, if I was to use Bear for this for more than 2 days, I would have duplicates of all of my notes, because
yes.
I have two iPads and a phone that I will be adding stuff to on a daily basis, into these notes. So that's why I use it primarily, I think.
Why is the icon yellow? That's what troubles me. The color of the icon.
There's nothing I can do about it. It's the theme that I use.
Yes, you can.
No. Okay, so.
You're right. I'm sorry. I take it back. You're right. The theme that you use changes the icon.
Yeah, and I prefer the yellow to the red. And I wished I could change it to a different color. I prefer yellow to red, but I would prefer to use one of their other colors. But right now, you can't, as of recording this, you can't independently change the app icon from the theme. I think they are working on that, but you can't right now.
File a radar.
That's not how I can't.
Well, actually, you know, Mike, this, after hearing your explanation, I think there's a worse things we'll have to go through here than the first row.
Yeah.
So,
my big question is, you use Bear Notes and Dropbox often, but they seem very far away at the top of the screen, way up there by themselves.
They've got big hands.
So, see, my top row is stuff that I use fairly often, but not anything I need to get to on a super regular basis. So it's a little further away, so it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
So my home screen will seem very familiar because it changes very little year to year. I will sometimes swap out an app or move something around, but I don't have big sweeping changes like I feel like some people do. Up first is Apple Maps. I use it. I don't get out a lot, but when I do, it's very often to like go to a meeting or, you know, it's like I work at home.
Yeah, me too. But it's funny to hear people say it.
Yeah, it's an odd thing. But very often if I do have to get out, I'm going someplace I'm not super familiar with. So I do some consulting and some client work, and sometimes I got to go meet somebody. And I just have found it helpful to have maps just be available on the home screen. But again, it's pretty far away, so it's kind of tucked out of the way. The next one is Do, and this is a big change for me. And Mike, you, after a long time of making fun of you for having multiple what seem on the surface to be to-do lists, I've started to use Do for a couple of very specific things. So I have like a morning and evening medication I have to take, and I have that in Do, and I have a couple of just little household things that I didn't feel like belonged in my task manager. And that didn't really resonate with me until this year, and I gave it a try, and I'm really enjoying the repetitive alerts. They're a little broken in iOS 10. Sometimes it doesn't alert you or it fails after a certain number of times, but it seems to be like pretty consistent most of the time. And most of the time I remember to do this stuff anyways, right? It's just really helpful. Like if I'm not at home or something else is going on, I can remember.
See?
And you can snooze. It's nice. You were right. And what I'm saying is Mike was right.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So it's helpful. And I only have it on the iPhone. It can sync with the iPad and with a terrible Mac app, but I just have it on the phone. So
yeah,
which seems kind of be like its natural habitat. It kind of where it makes sense for me.
What about the watch? You have it on the watch. You have the notifications go to the watch.
I do. So if I'm say that like I've made it like this week, it happened on Monday. I got out the door late, and so normally I'm at home by a certain time and having breakfast. And I wasn't yet, so I just like, hey, hit snooze for half an hour, and half an hour I'll be home and I can do it. So,
did you know you can customize the notifications, like
yes.
the time intervals? That's fantastic.
It's really good. Do is fantastic, and they are. I saw something on Twitter, the developer working on new iOS releases, but he's got some other stuff going on. But it's great. Up next, workflow, which we could do and have done whole shows on. The biggest thing I use workflow for is sending URLs to my task manager, either to read later or most often something I want to link to on 512 pixels. And so I have a workflow that takes in a bunch of input, makes a task in workflow in a Todoist, puts it in my articles list, is due for today. And so I can just do it real quickly. I have some other stuff. I have the iCloud Drive shared clipboard thing that Federico set up a while ago. I have, like, you know, some kind of basic workflow stuff, but that's the one by far I use the most often. Send this URL or this tweet or whatever this is to Todoist for me to do something with.
Where do you run that from?
Very often the share sheet. So if I'm in Safari or if I'm in Tweetbot and see a URL, then share it to the workflow extension and send it over. And then last, and this is
my main problem.
Yeah, I have so many problems with this.
Out
of everything on the home screen, this is the one that deserves to be there the least. And honestly, probably shouldn't be there now. I just haven't done anything about it. So I went for a long time without wearing the Apple Watch and have slowly reintroduced it. And over time, like, to do that, I had to really change how I was using my watch because I had it set up in a very particular way when I had a 9-to-5 job, and that didn't make any sense when I went independent. But I've basically been okay with the way my watch is set up for probably 6 months now, and so it needs to shuffle off. I just don't have anything like really burning on page 2 or in a folder to like be promoted to the home screen. So it is not ideal. I accept your criticism. I'm fully aware.
This was there last year too.
Yeah, because last year I was in the process of doing this with the Apple Watch. Now it's all like solved.
At least it's better from last year, because last year you had Obscura next to it and they basically look like the same thing.
Yeah, that was not great. So
yeah, but I still find it mind-boggling. Like, put the Relay FM icon there. Like, do that, right? If you're going to have just a space with an app that you're not going to use, have your company logo there. Be like Mike. But like the watch app, I don't abide. And Maps is good in your town?
Yeah, it's good.
You use Apple Maps?
Okay. I know it's not everywhere. Okay. I know it's not everywhere.
All right, my second row, and the first icon may attract some criticism, I guess, because it's the Apple calendar.
No, I'm the odd one out looking at our lineups here. So,
the thing about the Apple calendar is the first reason is same as podcasts, same as Mail, Further Down, and Apple News, all these other Apple apps, with the exception of Messages, Safari, and Notes. Those are the actual apps that I use. These other ones, like, I keep them for testing. But I should say that the calendar, in addition to showing the icon, with the date, which other apps cannot do, and that is generally convenient for me, I struggle to find a calendar that works the way that I want on both the iPhone and iPad. The closest that I can get is week calendar on the iPhone, but it doesn't have an iPad version that works on the iPad Pro with multitasking. So in the spirit of, if I cannot have a single solution that I want, I might as well not have anything from third-party developers. I just went back to the Apple calendar because I was super frustrated with the chasing the, my ideal calendar for the iPhone and iPad, that I was really upset that no one was making the calendar I wanted. So I went back to the Apple stock one. Also, the reason why, I guess the third reason why I have it is I just don't create many calendar events. Like, I don't have meetings. Usually most of my events are either going to the doctor or going to dog training or podcasts. And my girlfriend and I, we keep a shared calendar in a separate app that we have, that I have on my second screen, which is called Picnic. It's a family dashboard. So I just don't have a need for constantly opening Fantastical and dictating events. I used to do that years ago when my life was different, but now I just don't have a need for that anymore. So I'm fine with opening the calendar and viewing a list of events. And also on iOS 11, I can use drag and drop on the iPad. So that's been useful. I'm not proud of my choice with the Apple calendar, but it's kind of more of a product of frustration and not having the patience anymore to try every single calendar app. It's a little arrow character for me, I guess, to not obsess over alternatives.
Yeah, it's weird.
It is weird, but weird. I've tried so many. That's the thing. I've tried so many, and I still cannot find the one that works the way that I want. And so I was like, you know, it's enough. At this point, I'm just wasting my time. Anyway, Carrot Weather is my most recent addition to the home screen because of the new version, which is excellent. I've always been kind of put off by the carrot personality. Like, it's fun and I love it, but I don't want to have that all the time. Like, sometimes I just want to get into an app and have it be efficient and just give me the content straight. Like, don't try to be funny all the time. And one of the major changes in the new version of Carrot is that you can disable the snark and all the sarcasm. You can disable that and just customize everything in this main screen. So that was the first reason why I decided to put, you know, to go all in with Carrot. So I deleted all my third-party weather apps. I used to have two of them in addition to the Apple Weather. Now I just have Carrot because I can customize the main screen. At the top, I see the current conditions, and then I can view an hourly forecast and then the weekly forecast, and there's no sarcasm. And what's more, because I became like a, what's it called, like a premium super fan, whatever, like the highest tier of the subscription, now I can use Weather Underground Data, which is the service that I want because it's super accurate for my area in here in Rome. Mm-hmm. Besides having Weather Underground as a provider, I can even select a specific weather station, which is the one down by the street where I live. Someone set up a crowdsourced Netatmo weather station that other people can use, and that weather station, I've been trying to find this person and thank them personally. When I was walking the dog the other day, I was looking at the buildings and I was trying to see if someone had the weather station set up outside, because I'm generally like surprised that someone knows this system here. So maybe we could be friends. I'm always on the lookout for friends here, because I don't have Mike and Steven with me in Italy. That's kind of sad, but also off topic. I can set up a custom weather station in Carrot Weather. It's excellent. I love it. So I'm a premium, super, whatever it's called, subscriber. Excellent update.
It's a fantastic app. I love it so much.
Oh, it's so well done. Peacock, I don't think we need to say anything about it. It's like, it's the best calendar on the iPhone and iPad. You can mm-hmm. customize the layout. And James, the developer, is insane, but also awesome at the same time. Now he's been down this rabbit hole of custom icons.
Yep.
And now he's also working on 3D stuff for the about screen in the app. Anyway, the ability to customize the icon has been terrific, because now I can have this sexy looking rainbow with the six colors of Apple on my home screen, which I love. And it seems to be a popular choice among Peacock fans. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, excellent addition. James is always coming up with new ways to enhance Peacock, even if it, in theory, you know, calculators are pretty much done, because mathematics are pretty much done at this point. We solved the problem of, you know, how do we work with numbers? But James is still finding ways to make it more useful. So yep. That's nice. And photos, because, you know, photos and screenshots. I think we can all agree that we take a bunch of pictures every day. We want to look at those pictures. Actually, Mike, I'm looking at your home screen. Where is photos?
We'll get to you this. Don't have... This is the same as every other time. We'll get to this.
Oh, man. You don't have photos here.
Because you don't need it. I think my method is superior, but we'll get to it.
No, it's not. I know what you're going to say. We'll get to it. Anyway, photos, screenshots, a bunch of new stuff in iOS 11, including new memories, an album for animated GIFs. I like photos. It's well done. It works well. And that's the second row. Also, I think the second row is mostly a repeat of the first one. The only app we can disagree with is podcast and calendar here. So, you know.
Well, I disagree with photos, but we'll get to that. My second row is very simple. Due for all of the reasons Stephen mentioned. Apple Music for all of the reasons Federico mentioned. Canary, which is my home security system. I like to have it there so I can check in on it whenever I need to, set and unset if I want to. And Google Maps, because Google Maps I find to be better than Apple Maps. And I like to have my maps right there on the home screen.
That was fast. Just blasted right through them.
I don't think that there's much debate about this one, and you guys have already made great cases for Dew and Apple Music. So
so my next row used to be the top row, and things are basically where they've always been. So messages, I too use the Apple Calendar, really for the same reasons Federico outlined, that I'm not in there a whole bunch, and I really didn't care for Fantastical on the iPad, so I prefer to use the same app everywhere. So I use the system calendar, and it's totally fine. I've got personal calendars in Gmail, family calendars in iCloud, and it works great. Photos, iCloud Photo Library is next, and then next to it is Instagram, probably my favorite social media network, way more fun than anything else, even though that icon, even after a couple of years, still not super great, but it's there next to Photos.
I love the icon.
Yeah.
It's nice. Mm.
Yeah. That's my second row.
So now we get to the third row, and I think it's where the controversial stuff begins. So I'm keeping both RSS and Apple News on the home screen. And for RSS, I use this service called InnoReader, or InnoReader. I'm not sure what the pronunciation should be.
Every time I look at that app, I feel like there's a pun I'm not getting.
InnoReader.
I think it's I know reader. You know, like, or maybe it's I know reader.
I know reader. He's a nice guy. Like, I don't know what it's meant to be.
Let's go with I know reader. Uh-huh. And I'm using the official app, even if it doesn't look great.
What if it's InnoReader?
That's definitely it.
what language is that? Uh-huh. So I'm using this app because it supports offline caching. So you can set up offline downloads on a per folder basis. So for example, my Apple subscriptions can be downloaded for offline usage automatically. And for example, when I was on a plane, I was flying to London to meet Mike. InnoReader had cached a bunch of articles from my Apple folder. Mm-hmm. And so I could check those out on the plane, mark them as read. And then when I landed, they were successfully syncing back to the service. And also InnoReader, the thing that I like is you can set up a bunch of automation on the website, which doesn't work well on iPad with Safari. So I usually have to open my MacBook and change the settings from there. But basically, you can set up a bunch of filters to exclude certain keywords from appearing in your unread stories. You can set up integrations with other services, and you can highlight certain words if they come in, as inside the text of articles that you're checking out in the subscription list. There's a bunch of, if you're someone who likes to tweak and change settings and have automations and rules and filters, this is like heaven for you. And the app doesn't do much, but it supports the offline caching, and it lets you that's one thing that I really like, is you can pull down, like pull to refresh when you're reading a story, but instead, maybe it's pull up. It's one of the two anyway. So when you swipe in any vertical direction, which I cannot remember if it's up or down, you're going to load the rest of the article using the service's own parser for HTML content, which is really nicely done. Apple News, I keep when I want to have like a quick overview of what is going on for normal people in the world that is not about Apple and betas and SDKs, like when I read about politics, which is really depressing these days, or like celebrity stuff, which for some reason I like to follow, like gossip stuff, especially around TV actors. Like it's one of my secret hobbies.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. I watch wrestling. Right.
So, yeah. I have a section called Celebrities, I think, in Apple News. It's kind of like, okay. And just more general type of interests like video games and TV shows, a lot of those I follow in Apple News. I try to set up Mac Stories as an Apple News format channel. Went wrong in all kinds of ways with the WordPress plugin.
Like it's just continued to go wrong and then go wrong and just keep going wrong forever.
It started out wrong and it just kept getting worse. And I'm at the point where I'm not sure what is happening anymore because the articles do not refresh anymore. So we're stuck with like content from 2 weeks ago. So I gotta look into that. Google Docs, I don't like, but we use for all of our shows, and we also use it for app stories. It's where we research the topics of the podcast that we produce, and I recently instructed the Storybot to develop a new skill, which is Storybot can now look at a Google document and extract links contained in the Google document for me, format them as a markdown list with titles and links, and give it back to me either in Slack or with a workflow. So, Storybot is now Google Docs enabled, which is nice.
Let me ask you a quick question about that Google Docs. So, like, again, I'm not telling you how to do to work your situation, but like for me, I just use Spotlight to bring up these. So, like, I will search, for example, I'll open Spotlight and search remaster, and then the remaster document is recommended to me, and I hit it and I go right to it. And I just wondered why, like, not why you don't do that, but like why Google Docs is like home screen worthy. Like, I just wonder, like, do you open the app and like just tap the thing you want? Okay.
Yeah, I do. I do. And I'm not a huge user of search.
Okay. See, this is the difference between being an iPad user with a hardware keyboard and an iPad user with a software keyboard, right? Where it's like so easy for me to just hit that keyboard shortcut no matter where I am. Bring up Spotlight, right? So
what I hate about Spotlight is that when you hit Command Space, sometimes if you start typing right away, it sort of eats the first characters that you type because the input is not immediately active, and that drives me crazy. And I've conditioned myself into not using Spotlight because I've run into that issue in the past, and I was super annoyed. So I just prefer to tap things until Spotlight gets better. And it's like the Mac where I can bring up Alfred and start typing and it doesn't lose my characters, you know?
Yeah, I think I'm a little bit more patient just because I've never noticed it. Maybe I'm just like instinctively waiting to see it before I start typing.
Could be.
Because that doesn't happen to me. But okay, cool. Just wondered.
And the last app is Dropbox, and because it's Dropbox and we all use it.
Yep.
I'm trying to switch to Files for some stuff, but I know I will never be able to move away from Dropbox. If anything, maybe the Dropbox app will go away if they ship a solid Files integration. But even in that case, it won't have all of the features that a custom, like, you know, like the native Dropbox app can give you. So I guess I'll just keep using both Files and Dropbox at the same time. We'll have to see if Dropbox stays on the home screen once they do a Files extension.
Camera. Okay, so I had the camera on my home screen for a couple of reasons. One, the camera's always been on my home screen, so I've never removed it. I'm aware that there are shortcuts. So you can, from the lock screen, you can swipe over. Great, that one's awesome. When you're on the home screen, the idea of swiping up to control center to hit the camera icon, that one, I've never liked that. I think that that's silly. I like to have my camera wherever I'm going to be, and if I'm on my home screen, I want there to be just a big button right there that says camera, so I can press it and bring up the camera, because that's how my iPhone has been for like 10 years. It's always been the camera button right there. Plus, I feel like it plays double duty, because not only do I have the camera there, I'm also then just one more tap away from every single photo that I could ever wish, because my photos and camera is all in the same place. Very nice, very simple. I don't know why people put the photos app on their home screen when they get to put the camera app on their home screen. Then they had the camera and photos all in one little convenient place.
Because you can swipe to reveal the camera, and then you can open the home screen. What?
You can't do that from the home screen. Let's say you're just on the home screen.
Yes, from Control Center.
But Control Center is dumb. The camera thing in Control Center is dumb. Because you're already looking at the home screen. You're already looking at the home screen. Just press the camera icon. It's right there.
Your reasoning doesn't make sense.
Makes sense.
You can swipe and open, and then if you open photos, you go straight into the photos.
Yeah, but you don't have to go camera through. And you're straight into the camera. I think it works perfectly. I think it's great.
And if you swipe Control Center, you're straight into the camera. Like,
well, not on iOS 10, you know. I don't know what you're talking about.
Like, you swipe and you tap. Like, you open Control Center and you tap the camera.
Well, I could just tap. What do I need to do that swiping nonsense
sure.
for? I just tap right, just
sure.
tap it.
Do you really need that fast of an access to the camera?
Yeah,
you
man.
Do not, because
yeah.
then you, no, because you said you don't open the camera from the lock screen, so you're
no,
slower
I don't do
anyway.
That. Yeah, but that's because I always have my phone unlocked. It's always in my hand unlocked.
I'm just saying you're lying to yourself.
Well, I'm not lying to myself because I like to have the camera there and I like to have my photos there, and this I only need to have one app there now because it's all in the one place. How nice is that? It's fantastic.
You like the if you like the camera to be quickly activated, then why don't you activate the camera from the lock screen?
Because it's not in my muscle memory. There's nothing I can do about that.
My bigger problem is that photos isn't there. That it's way slower to get the photos that way.
It's not way slower. It's one more tap.
Which is just the argument for Control Center. Oh, you did this last year. What's next?
No, because I've literally just told you, right? Like, you can tell me it's there, but I don't remember. So what am I going to do about that?
Yeah, so if I'm in the camp...
Also, you have the Watch app on your home screen. You cannot
come to
me with this.
Mike, when you open the camera mm-hmm. and then you tap on the thumbnail,
uh-huh.
it's not the full Photos app.
Doesn't Well, then you can just tap once more
tap
for
on all
photos
photo.
If you really want to.
Yeah.
But like most of the time, I'm just looking for something that was real recent, and it's just right there.
Yeah, this wouldn't work for me with all the screenshots that I take.
That's fine.
For reviews
it
and
doesn't
stuff.
Need to work for you, but like it works for me, right?
No, all fonts need to work for me. I need to find a way to relate to these home screens, and I'm finding yours very problematic for my needs.
Mm.
So, this is a disappointment.
Next up is Instagram, because Instagram is a social network mostly full of happiness, whilst other social networks are full of sadness. Fantastical is fantastic as a cow. Think that
geez.
It's the best camera. It's the best calendar app, and I use my calendar a lot, and I don't like Apple's app. I don't like the information density in the app. I don't like the fact that I can't just type into it. What I love in Fantastical is I can just type and I can say the event, I can say who I'm meeting, I can say the location, I can say the time, I can even put it all in one calendar just by typing. I love it. I get a bunch of customization options. It's awesome. I do also agree that the layout really kind of sucks in full screen on the iPad, which is why I only ever use Fantastical is a skinny split screen application on my iPad, because then I get the iPhone view. It doesn't really look very great on the iPad. But I also really like the widget, the Notification Center cover sheet lock screen widget. That Fantastical has. I think it's really nice, and it's my favorite calendar application. I just don't like Apple's calendar. And then pCalc. pCalc is my favorite calculator app. I think it has all the features that I want, and it's super customizable, and it's themable, and James is awesome, and I love that application.
So, coming across to me, I do not use Apple Music, as I've been mocked for already. I have a local library on my phone. And I use Ikut, because I find that...
Oh, what's it called?
I don't know. The Apple Music...
I think it's French. It's supposed to be Ikuté.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Ikuté.
I was just kidding. I'm really not sure.
No, it's Ikuté. It's Ikuté. I think that it's really Ikut the way you say it, Stephen. So you should say it. Keep saying it that way.
The music app... crams a lot of crap in there that I don't want. So
how do we continue to have a podcast together after we do this episode?
I don't know.
Year?
We're done for a week after this. So.
I don't know how I can do a podcast with someone who opens photos on the camera. Like, it's completely backwards.
You're a podcaster like,
shows,
who uses Apple's
it
podcast
shows
app.
A
what
lack
do you want
of
from
respect
me?
At a fundamental level.
For what?
For basic iOS interactions.
You have Apple News on your home screen, man. What do you want from me?
Next up, Overcast, podcast app of choice for a long time. Smart speed, voice boost, good syncing. It's the best out of a lot of good ones. Lots of good ones. I like Overcast. 1Password is next. I think for pretty obvious reasons, heavily, heavily use 1Password. Mike and I, we share a Teams account for work. I have a family account with my wife. Also, secure notes. Bank account information, obviously login, serial number for software. 1Password is just really critical to so much of what I do. So it has earned a place on the home screen. And next to that is an app that, looking at y'all's home screens, I feel like you used to both have this and it's been demoted, is Day One.
Yeah.
So what's up with the two of you?
It just became really sad to look back at past entries, and I was like, I reached the moment where I was looking back, and I was like, you know, this stuff is really bumming me out. So I just got rid of it, and you know, it's like it's very personal, and it was making me really sad.
No, I understand that.
You don't want to be sad.
I don't scroll back in mine very often, but I still use it for, you know, putting new photos in, writing little things a couple times a week. They have moved. You know, version 2 had a really rocky start. Then Alan transitioned to premium, which I'm not sure how well it's going. They've already reduced the price once. But I'm paying for a premium membership because I do really still love the app and use it. But it's I totally get what you're saying. I totally understand that.
I just don't use it enough.
Yeah.
So it's gone from my home screen. And now that it's gone from my home screen, I don't think I'll use it at all. Right, like I don't even remember. I forget about it, honestly. And it's not enough for me to want to become a premium subscriber to, like, I use it so infrequently that, like, I mean, I haven't even been keeping up with it. But if that's going to be their only business model going forward, then I'll probably drop off.
I believe it is. So
it's a great app for people that want to use it, like, and it's a really nicely made app, but it's just not a thing that I do.
I think either you're like a journaling person or you're not. Like, this totally fine.
Yeah. Like, if I'm going to journal, I'm going to do it on pen and paper. Right?
Sure.
Because that's just my scene, you know?
Totally understand.
All right. Fourth row, Slack and Workflow. I think we can all agree. Either they're Slack because I jump between Mac Stories and Relay, and Workflow because it's part of what I do every single day. Copied, it's the clipboard manager that I've been using to archive little bits of text. For example, when I go to the Apple Store and I need an invoice for a purchase, all my business information is in there. So I open the app and I give the info to the guy at the Apple Store for the tax reasons. And when I'm putting together, like, usually lists of links or like lists of items, I put them in Copied and then I do the merge feature and I end up with a single block of text, which is really convenient. I wrote about Copied on Mac Stories. You can do some automations with JavaScript. It's really nicely done. And Ulysses is my text editor, which I don't use much on the iPhone because I mostly write on the iPad. But I keep on the iPhone because sometimes I need quick access to my documents, maybe because I think of something and I want to put a note at the bottom of a document that I'm working on. I use a custom theme with Ulysses. I use a custom font. I bought the entire family of the Nitty typeface from Bold Monday, to this excellent website where you can buy fonts. So I have the entire family set up in Ulysses. I really love my theme, and I really love Ulysses, and I'm just hoping that with iOS 11 they will add some drag and drop features, for example, or stuff with SiriKit. I don't know, but it would be nice to get some iOS 11 features. I think Mike should be content with what I have in this row. Like,
why just me?
Because I think you're out to get me with this episode. Like, you.
Hang on! Whoa! Nana, I was playing fair until you started, like, you just cut into me over the camera thing.
I know I did. It's all in good faith, Mike.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We can still be friends if we don't.
That's not what you said a minute ago. Messages, because I send messages. Do you know what? I actually don't know why messages is like in the middle there. Like, I don't know why it's there. I think when the phones got bigger, I put it in a place where it was like more easily accessed by just my thumb.
Mm-hmm.
I think messages used to be at the top for me. Then maybe it moved to the bottom. So then I kind of moved it to the middle row. I think that was what I did when I first got a plus size phone. So it was just like always accessible by either of my thumbs, right? So I just kind of put it right in the very middle. I think that's why it went there. And then Slack goes there because it's next to messages. So like those two applications are like grouped together as messaging applications. We run Relay FM through Slack. Like that's where everything is there. Todoist is my to-do app. It's where all of my work-based tasks go. They all go in Todoist. I've stuck with Todoist, and I really like it. And it's just become the application for me where I want to put all of this stuff. Like, all of the API stuff is great. I love the drag and drop of the reordering of tasks. It has some foibles and some oddities, you know, like, I love the natural language of entering tasks, but the way that they make you rely on that for repeating tasks almost makes me want to rip my hair out every single time I have to add a repeating task, because I invariably get it wrong in some way that ends up coming back to bite me later on. And I just really wish they would add just sensible UI for creating repeating tasks. I don't know what it is culturally at their company that means that they're just not willing to do that. It's very strange. And then 1Password, I think, for all of the reasons Stephen mentioned, like, if I have a password, it's in 1Password, and I use it to generate passwords. You know, I use it for storing secure information as well. And with the team collaboration features, it's really great. And I signed up for a 1Password account recently because on iOS Beta 1, Dropbox syncing wasn't working. So on iOS 11 Beta 1, so I don't know why it just wasn't working with 1Password. So I ended up signing up for an account. So now I have a personal account and a business account with 1Password.
So I've got coming across Dropbox again. The same reasons you guys mentioned. Dropbox is my file system. Everything of importance on my computer, except for like virtual machines or edit files, are in Dropbox. So having that accessible is key. Notes is next. I'm in and out of Notes all day. I had, connected listeners will know, I had been in Evernote briefly this summer, but I was quickly talked out of it due to, logic. So back in Notes and happy with it. Slack, I have, you know, it's so key to how we it's so key to how we run Relay. It's so important in other organizations and teams I'm a part of. I'm in Slack way more than almost anything else these days. I do wish that the iOS app were better. For an app that I'm in all the time, it's really behind on some things. No rich notifications. You can't respond to a notification. The Mac app is just a pile of spaghetti held together by tape. I really wish they would spend some time on that, especially on iOS. The app can be really buggy. And next to it, I have Storm, which is a weather app I've talked about before. It's from Weather Underground. It is heavily radar-focused. I use Weather Underground data, of course, which I like. I, like Federico, use a weather station that's basically like down the street from me. So I know like hyper-local weather data, which I really enjoy. Mm-hmm. And I like Storm. I do have Weather Underground, like the main app, installed in a folder because I prefer its widget. So I have the Weather Underground widget in the Today view, but I use Storm on my home screen. And I have for a long time. And I'm a big fan of it. So yeah, that's me. I don't think there's anything controversial in there.
Hmm. Yeah. I feel like there's nothing controversial about your home screen.
It's very
Watch app.
Hey, okay. So since we've spoken, I'm not gonna edit.
Well, hold on.
Since we've been on the phone, I've moved the Relay app into that spot. So
yeah,
you talked me into it.
So. Working Copy is my GitHub client, and I use GitHub mostly to collaborate with the Mac Stories team for producing Club Mac Stories content every week. We share text files. Each one of us can commit changes to the same repo in GitHub, and we can all see the changes. And I also use GitHub as a backup layer for my own stuff, and we have repos set up for individual authors. So I use GitHub a lot, and Working Copy is excellent. Files is the new iOS 11 file manager. I like it a lot. I've been increasing my usage of iCloud Drive, especially now that iCloud has built-in sharing for files. So I like the way it looks. I like the way it works with drag and drop, and I'm really excited to try the new file provider extensions. I have a few betas right now, and all I'm going to say is it's going to be super nice to have app data living into files and becoming available in a better way than before, as you know, as system-wide extension. It's going to be super nice.
Do you think that Dropbox will remain on your home screen post iOS 11's release?
That's why I quickly mentioned before, I'm not sure. Because if they do a good file provider extension, I could maybe just do everything in files and maybe leave the more specific functionalities to the Dropbox app that at that point it could be placed in a folder. You know, if I have to open Dropbox to manage permission controls for folders that I'm sharing with the team, or like more specific functionalities that I cannot do in files, I could put Dropbox in a folder. But it depends if and when they do and how they do the extension. So we'll see.
Here's a thought. Touch ID. Is that a thing in files?
No.
No. That's concerning. I don't know if you guys do, but I use Touch ID with Dropbox. And I like that I have that. Just as an extra layer of security, just because I have so much in there. I know I have. Obviously, I use Touch ID to unlock the iPhone, but I do really like having that extra layer. Maybe I'll have to let it go for ease of use.
Interesting. Trello is the service that we use to manage the editorial calendar of Mac Stories and Club Mac Stories, so we can collaborate on a single board. We have topics, we have columns for like periods of the year when we know we're going to drop some specific stories. It's just a great way to visually move assignments around and topics around. So, for example, we can put items into the list for the next issue of Mac Stories Weekly, or we have a separate Mac Stories board when we can plan on the articles and the stories that we're going to publish in the fall when iOS 11 and all the other software updates come out. And we also use Trello for web development. So we have boards for App Stories and Mac Stories where we keep track of the bugs and the stuff that we need to fix and the new features that we want to bring to the website. And finally, DevonThink is my research-oriented file manager, which can also be automated in a way that files cannot be. I wrote about this at a large extent on Mac Stories before, sharing the actual workflows that I use. But basically, DevonThink allows me to organize my research material, whether they're PDFs from Apple or screenshots that I take, or, you know, all kinds of web archives and other copies of material that I need for my stories. I put them all together in DevonThink. I can automate the process of saving them into DevonThink with workflows that allow me to put files into specific folders or subfolders. It's the file manager for a specific use case that I rely on to find and organize all this reference material that I later bring into my articles. It's not for everyone. It's a very strange app in places. But for me, for what I do, especially with the iOS 11 review, to organize screenshots and documentation from Apple, can I have a structure for all of this stuff? It works well in DevonThink.
So next up for me is Narwhal, which is a Reddit client. I subscribe to like 3 or 4 subreddits. I don't look at the Reddit front page. There's just a few things that I like. There's one Nintendo Switch subreddit that I really like as well. There's just a lot of interesting news and stuff that I pick up from a small subset of the little communities via Reddit. And Narwhal is a really fantastic Reddit client. I really, really like that app a lot. Pipedrive is a sales management tool. So with Pipedrive, we're able to keep track of all of the people that we work with sponsorships at Relay FM. We're able to keep track of the deals that we're doing and stuff like that. It is a pure like sales enterprise-y tool that I use because that's part of my life. Workflow, because I use Workflow every day. I very rarely open the Workflow app, but I just have it there. I'm typically firing workflows off from the share extension, but more often than anything else is from Notification Center, especially like workflows for Toggle, and I have some Todoist workflows that like activate some template projects and stuff like that. I do all of that from Notification Center. IFTTT is in a holding bin to be moved away from my home screen. IFTTT was there from when I was like trying to dig into automation stuff a bit more. I had IFTTT there as like a reminder. So like if I was just kind of trying to kill some time on my phone, like open IFTTT, see what's there, like just play around with some stuff. So now, you know, it's there because I still use it, but I don't really open the app very often. But I don't have anything that I want to replace it with yet. So the next time there's an app that I want to add to my first screen, it will, IFTTT is in the place. It will be pulled out.
Like photos. Put photos in there. So I'm a row shorter than y'all. Even though we all have plus size phones. This is my last row. It's a little sad. Todoist, again, very similar in this way. All my work and personal projects are in there. I have Zapier feeding stuff into Todoist for any time. For instance, I publish one of my podcasts. It looks at the RSS feed. If there's a new one, send me a task to link to it on the blog. Some calendar-based ones. It's very handy. Up next, and it's an app that the two of you have in your dock, but I have it here in this last row, is Tweetbot. I cannot understand the first-party Twitter client. It just seems like a disaster. I've used Tweetbot since day one when it showed up, and I've been really happy with it. Tweetbot is the way I think about Twitter working. I use it on the Mac and the iPad as well. It is Twitter for me. Next to it, I have Reader, the RSS client. I use it with Feedbin as the RSS service, which, you know, you pay 10 bucks a year or whatever for. But I used Unread for a really long time, and I like Unread, but it hasn't gotten a lot of attention. And the way that it shares thing, they use a custom thing called Overshare Kit, and it puts a lot of extra stuff when you share just a URL, and that was troublesome for me, so I ended up back at Reader. And finally, I have Instapaper. So I've used Instapaper since it came out, whenever it was, 8 years ago, 9 years ago, and use it the same way I always have. If there's an article or something I want to read or a video I want to watch, and I can't do it now, and it's not really a task, so it's not, hey, put this on your to-do list because you're going to link to it on 512. It's just something I want to read or check out later. I save it to Instapaper. I use Instapaper mostly on the iPad. I don't use it on my phone very much, but it is there. Mm-hmm. Just so it's available. Because, you know, if I've got some time, I'll go in there and see what's available. But I've used it for a really long time. Out of everything on my home screen, Instapaper's got to be there the longest just because it was one of the first apps in the App Store. So it's always held that bottom right corner as long as I can remember.
Okay, so messages, because I talk to you guys and I talk to other people on iMessage. It's nice. It's got stickers and then apps. So it's fun. iThoughts is the app that I put on my home screen once a year when I'm working on my iOS review during the summer. It's nice for me to have the mind map of the review quickly available on the iPhone 2. So when I think of something, I can drop it into three places: iThoughts, Notes, and Ulysses. It just, depending on what it is, I drop it into one of these three apps. So iThoughts, I don't use it all the time, but in these 3 months, it becomes essential for me. Mail, it's there for the same reason as podcasts and mostly calendar, which is I need to check out the new stuff in iOS 11. And I don't like mail. It's slow. Its search is very slow. Doesn't have push notifications for Gmail. And it has the underlying problem that Apple is not implementing any of the modern additions to email. It's very much stuck in the past. And even then, it doesn't have all the features that the Mac version has. So you could argue that Apple likes Apple Mail in a very specific way. But if that's the theory, then why is, you know, 10 years later, iOS Mail still is not like the Mac version? There's no automation, there's no smart folders, no customization whatsoever. So I don't get it. It's there, but I don't get it. It's going to go away as soon as Spark or Outlook or other apps gain iOS 11 support. And WhatsApp, it's there because I finally caved and had to accept the reality that most of my friends, my mom, my girlfriend, they all prefer WhatsApp to other messaging apps, including iMessage. WhatsApp is incredibly popular in Europe. Everybody uses it. It's become the default way to get in touch with someone. Everyone assumes, as soon as you share a phone number, everyone says, I'll text you on WhatsApp. Everybody does that.
Yep.
Because it's platform agnostic. It works everywhere. Everybody's on it. And it's actually gotten better in the past 2 years. Facebook, you know, it's now bought WhatsApp and they're now iterating on the product. It's now better when you want to share a link, when you want to share an attachment. There's GIFs built in. It's kind of nice, but I don't love it because it's not on the iPad, but it works. It works all right. And also people can find me. So everybody's happier. I'm not, but other people are. So I need to accept it.
WhatsApp is the ugliest app to get to the level of popularity that it's gotten maybe in all history.
Well, Snapchat is up there.
Snapchat is confusing, but I think looks nice, right? UI is fine looking, right? Like, it's super confusing, but it looks like it's been designed by, like, a team of designers. And WhatsApp looks like they came up with a design, like, 8 years ago, and then they just didn't change it. And, like, that's just how the app is. Like, it is really, I just find it every time I'm in it, I find it so ugly. Like, I really, really don't like WhatsApp. Because plus, there's just so many things happen. It's not good. Okay, for me, Toggle Timer. Toggle Timer is a not good application. Like, it just
Why do
bad.
You keep it there?
All right. What, like, on my home screen?
Yeah.
Because I use Toggle so much. And there are, like, so, for example, one thing that I like to be able to do that my workflows can't do for me is, like, let's say I've been working on something for 15 minutes and forgot to set a timer. You can open the Toggle Timer app, you can start a timer, and then add time to it, and it just keeps running. So, like, that's All the right. main reason I use it. And the website is okay on iPads, but it's not good on the phone. So I use the Toggle Timer app. I believe they are actually working on a nicer iPhone app, which I'm so excited about. But it's purely for, like, this is something... If this only happened to me once every little while, then I wouldn't do it. But I do this quite a lot. Like, I've already started a project before I've added the timer for it. So I like to be able to open it up and do that. The YouTube Studio app... this is like one of those apps that I don't use very often, but when I want it to just be there. And it's also in like this bottom row. It could be replaced. Like after IFTTT, this would be the next app that would maybe move to another screen. But when I publish a YouTube video, I like to be able to read the comments and respond to the comments. And the YouTube Studio app is a pretty nicely made app. Like the analytics it shows is good. And there's a way to go in and look at comments and stuff. I think it's actually pretty well made. Monzo is a banking app. Monzo is they're becoming a bank, but right now it's like you get this little card which you can top up with Apple Pay, and then you can spend the money on the card, and it has really great reporting. So it shows you kind of how much you're spending on certain types of things. It automatically categorizes everything. When you spend something, you get a push notification that confirms the amount, and it has little emoji, which is so for example, if you eat at a burger place, it has a little burger emoji there, and it shows you the amount. You can go in and look at like specific places that you spend money in and see every transaction you've ever had there. Like, it is a really interesting way of doing banking. And they're actually they're becoming a real fully fledged bank rather than just a prepaid card bank, which I'm excited about. And Duolingo, because I am learning to speak Romanian. So it is there, the little green bird with its piercing eyes looking directly into my soul every time I open the app. But every time I open my iPhone to say, hey, buddy, you haven't done your lesson today. So there it is, right there, looking at me.
No, cannot argue with that.
So Stephen has no final row, which means, Federico, we're going to go back to you to begin the doc. And then this is the last row on the phones.
All right. Todoist, because of all the other reasons you both mentioned, it's excellent for automation. It works well for collaboration too. So I share many to-do lists with John, who is very precise in assigning tasks to me whenever I forget to do something.
This feels like there feels like there's a lot more to be said there that you're not going to say.
No, it's just not a subtext. It's what I said. But thank you, John, for reminding me to do my tasks.
It is the most amazingly passive-aggressive way to remind someone to do something is to add a task directly to their task list. I kind of like that.
It's just outright aggressive.
Yeah, actually, you know what? It is aggressive. It's aggressive task management.
John is not aggressive. He's very caring.
Very gentle.
Very, very, very on schedule all the time. Safari is Safari is my favorite web browser. I love Safari Reader. It's gotten even better in iOS 11 because now you can set Reader to be automatically activated for certain domains. For example, on Medium.com, I always activate Reader now. And there's other websites with weird designs that I don't understand. I just enable Reader mode all the time. Notes is where I drop anything I can think of. Text, images, documents, links, whatever, sketches. I love the sharing feature. So I set up a dedicated sharing folder in Notes where I keep all the collaborative notes that I share with other people.
That's a good idea.
That's been very convenient for me to remember to go in there because that's where I can find all the notes that I'm sharing or other people are sharing with me. And also I use private notes a lot for, you know, Touch ID authentication to view notes that are private to me, like, you know, like banking information, health records, stuff that I don't want to keep without a extra step of authentication. And Tweetbot, sits there. It probably shouldn't be there because I'm always trying to spend less time on Twitter. But I try to put Tweetbot in other places on the home screen and my muscle memory kept telling me that something went wrong. And it was annoying to me that like I couldn't get used to it. I tried for several weeks. It felt weird. So Tweetbot has to stay there. And I guess the change has to come from the inside, from within. I need to be the one that opens Tweetbot less.
Wow.
But the Tweetbot icon has to be there.
It's pretty deep, man.
Yeah, it is. I know. So that's my on-screen. I'm done. It's over.
Do you remember when you used to use the Twitter app?
I do. Back when it used to be a decent app, when you know, when Twitter as a company had some kind of idea of what a good app is. I do remember those days fondly, yes.
I use Tweetbot because, you know, for the same reasons that these guys do, it's the best Twitter app that I've ever used. It's fantastic. It continues to get better. I'm pleased that it sticks around, and I hope that it has many more years to come. Airmail, I feel like I could give the same review of Airmail forever in that it is an app that is full of bugs that I'm willing to suffer for the good features that it gives me. I feel like I will say this about Airmail forever. Like, it is a very aggressively developed application. They are always adding new features. They fix bugs, but they also create bugs. And I can appreciate, you know, a company that ships aggressively like the Airmail team do. Like, of all the betas that I'm on, they're constantly shipping new stuff. They're constantly trying to improve things. Email seems to be like a really tricky thing, and if you want to do it really well, you're going to introduce a bunch of problems. And there are always a bunch of problems, but the features that it gives me, you know, and when I say the features, it's really like the ability to be able to customize everything to the nth degree. That's what I want from an email application, and nobody does that like Airmail does. Like, you can get really granular about in this application, and this is one of the places that I want to be able to. And I really like Airmail. I have a web browser next because everybody needs a web browser. And then Overcast. Overcast will finish this out because no one's going to challenge me. All right, good. We're good to go. Overcast is the way that I listen to podcasts. I think the app's great. I love Smart Speed. I love Voice Boost. I really, really love the queue feature that Marco added. I loved it in Castro, but Castro didn't have all the features that I want. So I didn't switch, but then when Marco added the queue features, it's perfect for me. I have an all playlist and I have a queue playlist, and the queue playlist just runs through, and it's where I kind of do some triage and move stuff around. I love the ability to be able to drag and drop stuff around really easily. So yeah, Overcast is my podcast app of choice.
The dark mode always catches me by surprise with the icon.
Yeah, I really like the colors of the dark mode, and I like that I have a dark mode icon, which is the gray and blue.
So I think my dock is the biggest break between any of us. The two of you don't have phone on your home screen whatsoever.
Don't want to get phone calls.
I hate phone calls.
I hate phone calls too, like, but I have to make them and receive them. So like, it's
do you know that I actually block people who call me at times I don't like?
That's intense.
Like even friends. I have
That's
blocked.
Amazing.
Yeah, I do. And like people are like, I got into arguments with people for this. Like, do not call me at 9 a.m. ever. Like, unless it's my, like, it's my oncologist or my doctor or my mom. And I've gotten into arguments with my mom. And I've told my oncologist not to call me at that time. But I haven't blocked them. I fundamentally believe that people who assume that you follow morning hours just because the majority of people work, you know, from 9 to 5, they show a lack of respect for other people who have different jobs. And so when people, you know, when they don't understand, oh, why would you go to sleep at 3 a.m.? Well, because it's, you know, I usually stop working at midnight. And so people who call me in the morning and they act all surprised. Hey, did I wake you up? That's not funny. Like, it's not funny. Do not call me and I'm going to block you.
So I'm never going to call you.
That was a real digression.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just never going to call you.
Yeah. Part of phone being there is that's where it's always been. But I do make and receive a fair number of phone calls, even though I don't like them. But next is mail. I have tried AirMail, but where Mike and I differ is that I love all the customization and the power tools that it offers. But the bugs were just too much for me to handle. I check in on it every 6 months or so. That time is coming up again soon, I think. But mail is fine. It's better in iOS 11. The search and stuff is faster. Still not great compared to AirMail or like the Gmail application, for instance. But it gets me by. And then Safari. It's, you know, what can you say? It's the heart of the iPhone in many ways, I think. It's what made the iPhone special on day one, and it continues to be my browser of choice on iOS. That's three. I just have three in the dock. Just three. Not four. Three.
Just three. So just before we go, I just want to double check that you guys are just letting Chrome go, right? Like, there was nothing, so I assume that you've all just accepted it.
No. Yeah, I just think you're wrong. Like, we went over this before, and it's like, it's one of those things about you that I don't understand, but I support you. I feel like it's too late for an intervention. We've tried to explain the benefits of Safari. You're not listening to us. So we love you anyway, but you're wrong. And someday you will see the light, hopefully.
Yeah, maybe. There's some stuff in Safari that like is really interesting.
I love that your response is just, well, yeah, maybe.
You know, like there are things I have ongoing frustrations with Chrome that I don't think will ever be fixed. Like its ability to autofill 1Password stuff, it doesn't do a very good job with that. But you know, I use it everywhere. Like at this point, I'm just really just baked in. It's got all of my browsing history. It knows all of my tabs. You know, it's all set. Like, you know, it is akin to asking you guys to move away from Safari. Like, it's a big jump to make, and I'm so in on it right now. Why I can't think why I would change. Like, I don't really feel like I lose anything, honestly. Like, so the combination of Chrome and Safari View Controller is effectively all I needed, and I'm set with it now. Like, before Safari View Controller, it was frustrating because I would also end up with all the Safari stuff. But, like, that doesn't really happen so much. Basically, it's just links from messages. Like, they're the only times that Safari ever opens for me now. And to be honest, I open most links from messages just in a 3D touch, like, thing, thingamajig. So,
all right.
I live with it. That is our home screens. I think we got through it mostly unscathed. I think we all took a few beatings there, but I think we can get out of this mostly okay, right?
Yeah.
I think we can continue. We're going to be able to continue recording together. We're okay?
Yes, we're okay.
Okay, good.
I think we can continue, yeah.
thank you all for listening, but most of all, thank you for giving us your money. You know, there's no, this is the way it has to be said. You give us money. You are a Relay FM member, and we really appreciate that. Whether you support this show, other shows, multiple shows, it doesn't matter what it is you're doing. I want you to know that we all really appreciate it, because, you know, podcasts are free, and we use ads to support our shows. So the idea that you also want to give us money is it's a great feeling, and we really, really, really appreciate it. And we hope that bonus episodes and all the little fun things that we try and do for you, our members, helps, you know, give something back for the money that you choose to give us. So thank you so much. Thank you for all the support that you give for this show and Relay FM in general. And hopefully you'll hear us on Connected. Otherwise, I guess we'll speak to you next year. If you know, maybe this is the only thing you tune in for. If it is, like, more power to you. There's a lot of context you probably have not understood, and you think that we're three people that don't really like each other very much. Until next year, I guess. Bye-bye.
Arrivederci.
Adios.